This podcast is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network, and it's also proud to be from Texas. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is the 2v2 podcast. Daddy, Dave, and Steve.
All right, good to
and recording.
Yeah, same here.
All right.
Oh,
yeah. We almost know what we're doing.
Kind of. I wouldn't say that we definitely know what the devil we're doing, but we're kind of old pros at it. Kind of getting there at least. So, I'm just gonna go ahead and do this. Hey, everybody, and welcome to 2BT. I'm David.
Michael.
Ah, there we go. This is so weird, man. Every time we do this, it totally like throws me off because like I'm sitting there and I'm just looking at the wave and it's like nothing.
Yeah,
nothing on my end.
It'll blind you'll it kind of suck you in and hypnotize you.
Oh god. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty neat.
I was trying to make it sound like the internet glitched and it stuck on an M.
Right,
but no,
it'd be cooler if you could do a like a Max Headroom type thing, like Michael or whatever. I don't know. I can't do Max Headroom, yeah. But then again, I think that was just because it's all computer. Well, I don't know. That dude, that's like, what, back in the 80s? Kind of makes me wonder if that Max Headroom voice was actually like, oh, they probably did it in post. Never mind. So they probably recorded it and then they chopped it up or whatever.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
So no Steven. Steven's been kidnapped by his neighbor, but to slave labor.
Right.
On a fence.
Yeah.
And that really stinks that he's not here because I told y'all I got another box of books from Dennis.
Ah, no, dude, that's awesome.
My Dungeons and Dragons benefactor from Missouri.
Yeah.
He's on Best of the Rest, and he sent me another box of books and the cool, even cooler thing, and it makes, I'm going to have to just, I ought to just bring the entire box of everything I have combined with what Dennis has sent me and let Steven just go nuts. Cause I know he's just dying to get some of these old, Dragonlance and Forgotten Realms books.
Right.
But he also sent me, I guess he heard us talking about the magic cards and he sent me some old cards from, most of the ones he sent me were from like the earliest days of magic, the old school, like 94, 95 releases, which is cool because it's just the older cars. A lot of the stuff is, there's like still figuring stuff out. But an even cooler thing he sent was, and I've heard about this game. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's the Magic. It's not the Magic. It's like Magic. It came out about the same time that Magic got released. It's the Star Wars collectible card game. And enough for like two decks. You have the light side and the dark side, and it's really neat. I want to learn how to play, and I want us to play sometime just for fun.
Heck yeah, dude! I'm game. I would like to play the old Star Wars role playing game that they released. Like what? Oh man! Like we played that back when we were playing D&D way back in the day. I would like to find the books for that and play that. Yeah. Yeah.
I bet just hit eBay up or some secondhand bookstores will have that. We should do that.
Right.
We still need to do our normal D&D thing that we've been planning on doing for, seems like a decade now.
For right.
Something episodes. But one of the books, speaking of D&D, most of the books he sent were Dragonlance this time. Okay. Then there's another one that's a D&D setting called Dark Sun. But do you remember Spelljammer?
No.
Spelljammer was Dungeons and Dragons' attempt to take D&D, the game, and advance it into like a sci-fi setting.
Okay.
And on the back of it, the name of the book, this is the first book in the Spelljammer book series, because you know that they were really good about back then about tying everything together. That's how we got Dragonlance. Dragonlance was actually started out as a campaign setting and modules, and some of the people that were test playing the game started writing the novels, Margaret Weiss and Terry Hickman.
Yeah.
Tracy Hickman. And so they I guess the novels were a good source of cash flow for him. So the first book is called The Cloakmaster Cycle 1. Then it says Spelljammer Books, and the name of the book is called Beyond the Moons by David Cook. And on the back, this is what I didn't know, it says Beyond the Moons, set in the Dragonlance fantasy world.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's
cool.
Like in the Dragonlance setting, but in the future, like where they have some kind of spaceships and stuff.
Oh, okay. I was wondering if it might have been like set at like the same time, and it's just like another race or something like that is way more advanced out there in the stars or whatever, and they're coming to visit the world of Kryn or whatever.
That's a good question. I'll know when I read it, I guess. I told him next time he sends me a box to send a box full of time.
That's a box full
of read.
I was like, what? A box full of time? Like the actual.
No, not the herb. I'd welcome that too.
Yeah.
Time's not good, but.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't sure if it's like a book series called Time or something like that. I was like, what? Like,
there should be.
Yeah, right.
Start writing that.
Yeah. Maybe we should collaborate.
Yeah. Yeah. So thanks to Dennis. He's a cool guy. He's on a trip right now over in Europe.
Oh, wow.
So he probably won't get to hear this maybe till he gets back, or maybe he will. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, that's cool, man. You can't beat that. I mean, A, you're getting free stuff, but then B, you're getting like way cool free stuff. And yeah, dude, that's really stinking awesome. Even if you were to had to pay shipping on it or whatever, still that wouldn't be bad at all, just because like, A, you know, it's a bunch of neat stuff for free. Like, dude, that's stinking cool, man.
Yeah, yeah, I appreciate it.
Heck yeah.
I appreciate it. So man, what have you been doing this week?
I got something in the mail this week also, man. Like it was kind of funny because I had almost forgot about it until I got an email. I guess it was last week sometime or whatever, a week before last maybe. And I'd pre-ordered the Hot Toys Return of the Jedi Luke Skywalker. I think it was last July I pre-ordered it because I thought it was supposed to release last year, and I had some money left over from Celebration, and so I was like, well, heck, I really want that. That's stinking awesome. I'd gotten my first Hot Toys last year on my birthday. It was a Hot Toys Shore Trooper from Rogue One, and so I got that last year, and then immediately after I got that, I got it's by Sideshow, but you can't tell them apart. Sideshow handles the distribution for Hot Toys in the United States. But I got the Sideshow Red 5 Luke Skywalker, and I already had a Sideshow R2-D2 that I picked up from Celebration Anaheim. So I saw that Luke Skywalker Return of the Jedi last year, and like I said, I thought it was supposed to release last July, last August, whenever I had extra money left over from Celebration. And so I was like, cool, I'll order that. So I pre-ordered it, and lo and behold, I didn't realize it, but it was July, August of 2018. I was like, oh, well, crap. Now I got a really long wait.
Yeah.
But it was cool because it was like Christmas in June, because I got that email and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot all about that. And, so that came.
Fun.
Oh yeah, yeah, that came in last week, or yeah, this last week. I think it was like last Monday. They sent me an email, asked me if it was okay to process my shipping on the 22nd, and I was like, sure, yeah, that's awesome. And then they sent me an email like a few days afterwards, and they're like, hey, it arrived early. Do you care if we go ahead and ship it out on like the 20th? And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, why not? And so I got it. Like I said, I think I went by and picked it up from the UPS store because you got to have a signature for something like that, you know, because it's expensive.
Yeah.
And they
I saw the picture you sent. It's really, man, they do such detail and quality on those things.
They do. It's amazing the type of detail and the face sculpts and the painting, and even down to the actual like clothes and everything like that. Like it's pretty insane what they can work in there. And even the paint on the face, like, it looks like, like the first time I ever saw Hot Toys, I think the first Hot Toys I ever saw was a Iron Man. And it, you know, it had it to where, I want to say either it had it to where you could take the faceplate up off of the Iron Man helmet, or you could like swap out heads or something like that. But there was one obviously with Robert Downey Jr.'s face, and it seriously looked like they had stolen the soul of Robert Downey Jr. and put it in this, you know, action figure, doll, whatever you want to call it, like statue basically is what they are. And I was like, oh my God, they just stole his like soul and put it in this thing. And it's like, they're so lifelike. It's almost kind of creepy, but it's they're,
well, I know they do those. They can do those. It's not 3D modeling, but like for CGI.
Oh yeah.
I know that. And I remember reading or hearing something about this, and you might have told me that they've, like, everybody that's in the Star Wars films now, especially the main cast, has that done to them. Like, they've got them their, I don't know, what's the word I'm missing? They have a computer model of their likeness.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know
like that. Like they did for Leia in Rogue One.
Yeah, and Grand Moff Tarkin.
Yeah. So, you know, I wonder if the, like, Hot Toys has access to that for the detail. Like they could do, like a Last Jedi, Luke, just using, straight off of, Mark Hamill's actual likeness would be really cool.
I don't know. I know that companies like Gentle Giant actually has the actors and things like that come in, and then they do their own 3D scan of them. And, that's how they, you know, that's how they wind up getting the sculpts or whatnot for the Gentle Giant bust and stuff. But I'm not sure about Hot Toys. I know that Hasbro does the same thing. That Hasbro, like, and that's what's funny is, you know, a lot of people sit there and complain about Hasbro, like face sculpts or whatever. And it's not really the face sculpts anymore per se. It's more the paint application on them, because the actual face sculpts are from, they go in and they, you know, digitally scan the faces. So that's how they actually get the face sculpts for the Hasbro, for at least like the 6-inch Black Series Star Wars figures. That's how they get the face sculpts for them. Now I don't know about how they go about doing that for like the older movies and things like that, for like, you know, like Empire Strikes Back or whatever. Like, I'm not really sure how that works out, but, I do know that for the, like the newer toys coming out for like the Last Jedi and all like that good stuff, I think they started with the Last Jedi line of the Hasbro stuff, that they were actually having the actors coming and doing the digital scan of their faces and using that to make the molds for the sculptings and stuff. So
Do you have it up on the shelf with your others now, or you have it like still?
I do. I did some rearranging up there. It's up on the top shelf. I'm looking at it right now. It's pretty awesome. It's really cool because you have a switchable arm for Luke that has an arm that you can swap out, that has a little battery compartment in it, and the lightsaber hilt is actually affixed to the hand. And you has little three batteries. I'm not sure what size they are, but they're those little weird kind of, I always call them wafer batteries, the type that you put in like watches and stuff like that or whatever. But they're a lot more tinier than like watch batteries, but there's like three little batteries in there that took me about 2 hours to get inside the arm. Good Lord. It was an absolute like pain in the butt.
Really?
And, like so small that I had to use a glasses repair kit screwdriver to get the panel off, and then tweezers to get the batteries in, and oh dude, it was just a pain, but it's really cool. Like, it looks beautiful, and then it has a little on and off switch on the arm that you have to roll back the sleeve of his shirt, and then, you know, insert the, or you know, turn the little on off switch on. But it's really neat, man.
He has actually clothes on then, like cloth.
Oh yeah, it's like Barbie clothes, but 100 times better quality, basically.
Yeah.
And the, he came with,
you got yourself.
What's that?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say that he came with so many different accessories, man. Like, it was hard to kind of decide, like, how I wanted to display him, because he came with, hold on. Let me just grab the box real fast and I'll tell you all the different things that he came with. It was within arm's reach, so it wasn't like a big deal. In fact, you can hear stuff rattling around inside of it, but like, And this is why I always hold on to these boxes, because they usually come with all sorts of different pieces and crap like that. Like, it has, you can display it where he's got the shackles that, you know, whenever he turns himself into, Vader there in, he turns himself into Vader there at Endor. It's got the shackles for that. Like I said, it's got the removable arm with the battery compartment. It's got three different base plates. It's got the base, but it's got three different plates that you can put on the, or I'm sorry, two different base plates that you can put on the actual base. I've got it displayed like he's, you know, about to fight Darth Vader there at the end of the Return of the Jedi, because that's still one of my favorite, you know, scenes out of any of the movies. You know, that whole saber battle between him and Vader is one of my tops. Like, I actually dig it. You know, I just love it. But it's got 1, 2, 3, 4 different sets, of hands. So that's two hands. So that's eight extra hands.
Wow.
An extra arm, an extra saber hilt. It's got two different saber blades, one that makes the saber look like it's in motion and one that's like it's just sitting still.
Why so many hands? I get it for the saber, but why are there so many different hands?
Just so that way you could display like different ways or whatever. Because
I can see a couple of different
just for different poses. Like, one of them actually has a hole in the hand where you can see the little binary stuff. I don't guess it's binary, but the skeleton of like the mechanical hand. Like, whenever he gets shot on Jabba's cell barge in the hand by that one dude. It's got a hand for that. It's got different hand, just like different finger positions, basically, I guess, just for action sequences or whatever, however you want to display it. It came with the little tabard type thing, that went over top of the black shirt, and then also his Jedi cloak. It's got the blaster that he stole from the Gamorrean guard before they got sent down into the Rancor pit. Just all sorts of, like, there's even some joints in here that I don't even know what the devil these joints are for, that, you know, it's like, I'll have to look at the, and that's what's bad. Like, I love Hot Toys. Their detail is great. Their instructions kind of suck though, because they don't really give you that much. They don't really give you like instructions at all. Like, there's some, but it's not like, hey, this is how you should really do this. Or what these are for.
Yeah.
So, but like I said,
you're getting quite a good, nice little collection there of the higher quality.
Oh yeah. Statues. Yeah. Like, I've got a few,
you know, I don't,
I've got a few Gentle Giant things, like the mini busts and stuff like that, but they aren't like, you know, they can get pricey, but I don't pay that much for them. I usually try to get them where they go on sale. There's a few that I paid full price for, but most of the stuff that I got on sale, but like the higher end stuff, like, you know, like the Hot Toys and Sideshow, if it's something that I really like, then I'm just going to go ahead and pre-order it. That's kind of like something that I kind of changed focus a little bit whenever I decided that I was going to get out of completely going 100% all in on the 6-inch Black Series figures. A, I didn't have the space for it, but B, I like the new movies. I love the new movies, but I'm not as attached to those characters as what I am with the original trilogy. So I thought, like, if I stop getting all of that, just collect the original trilogy characters that come out of the six inch Black Series figures, then I can start buying more high end stuff like the Hot Toys, which is what I'm doing. Yeah. So. And it just,
yeah, you can overwhelm yourself with things like that. Oh. I mean, any kind of collecting or just obsession that you get in. And it's nice because you really appreciate the things you're getting now probably more than you would if you just got everything. Because there are people that do that, that go after every single thing. But I couldn't imagine trying to keep up with every new release of a new figure or toy.
Oh yeah.
It kind of drive me nuts.
And it does, man, especially because like the 6-inch Black Series, they're so sought after and the collectors love them. In fact, like I know a few, store owners in the area, like, Holocron Toys and Order 66 Toys. A couple of those owners, like, they're really cool guys and they're always telling me, they're like, dude, you know, if you got extras, like, bring your extras down to us. Like, we can't keep this stuff on the shelf. Like, bring your extras down to us. And that's what I did with some stuff. I took a bunch of stuff down to Holocron Toys a couple of weeks ago and sold that stuff down there just because, like, You know, I've got good rapport with them. They pretty much give me decent prices on it. So I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah. Well, and collecting up until Disney started releasing the new movies was probably a little bit easier.
Oh.
Because the material they were drawing on. But now with 1 to 2 movies a year, I mean, we got 3 movies in the works from Rian Johnson. They're going to have toy releases with each one of those. They're going to have toy releases with the Benioff and Weiss movies when they come out. They're going to have toy releases with the Favreau TV series that he's working on and everything else.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, you'd have to have some deep pockets to stay on top.
Well, like you said, it's definitely overwhelming trying to keep up with that, man. Like, that's the reason why I had to back off a little bit, just because it was seriously like stressing me out. Like, I would get emails whenever Dorkside Toys would have like the pre-orders for like these cases of waves of figures, and I would just be like, oh crap, I gotta go order that now, because if I don't, then I'm not gonna get it. And that's really it, because, you know, you have idiots like me that was buying 2 cases of each because I had to have one to open and one to keep unboxed. And it is overwhelming, and it's daunting, and it's like, it hurts the pocketbook like something fierce, man. And it's like,
those statues are really nice. I was in a comic shop a couple of weeks ago, and they had a bunch of nice of the Batman statues that come out. I don't know if you've seen them. Excuse me. They're like the black and white.
Oh yeah. Those are really cool.
I guess like they're really cool. And somebody shared a picture the other day with me, even Valiant. There's a Bloodshot statue coming
really?
Out from, I don't remember who the maker of it is. And it looks so, the detail is so good. It looks like it just popped right off of the comic page. And, but you know, that stuff runs, I'm not into that kind of collecting because it's just too pricey for me. I don't have anything that nice. I mean, it's like $175.
Yeah.
Which I guess is a good deal.
It's tough.
That nice,
it's but. Tough to drop that kind of money on something. Like, if you like, unless like, you know, like if you love the character, say you were like a huge Bloodshot fan or whatever, you know, to get yourself like a statue, like if you just like bought one, like you're like, oh, that's Bloodshot from issue 47 of blah, 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 or, you know, whatever run, then like, you know, that's how I justify it. Like, I love Luke Skywalker. One of my favorite movies, or one of my favorite Luke Skywalkers, even the 3¾-inch figure, is The Return of the Jedi Luke Skywalker. It's one of my favorites. I always loved it because it had the green lightsaber and all like this good stuff. I just thought it was cool. And, you know, whenever I saw it, I just knew I had to have it. And I kind of figured, I kind of had told myself at one point in time, and I was like, you know what? Luke Skywalker has always been my favorite character as it is. You know, I've come out on the show, like, I don't know how many times I have said, you know, that Luke Skywalker is my favorite character. And, you know, so whenever I backed off on the 6-inch Black Series figures, I told myself, I was like, okay, I'll start getting more high end stuff, but I'll only do it for Luke Skywalker. Like, if somebody was to say, like, you know,
yeah,
like I said, like if you were a huge Bloodshot fan or whatever, and you decided to, like, you know, like one statue or two statues, that's not really that, I mean, it's expensive, but it's not that far fetched of an idea to be like, well, this is a really nice statue and I'll put it up here to where like nothing will happen to it or whatever. Good, you know, stuff like that. Because I get a kick out of just walking back here in my room and just hanging out and like, you know, looking at all the stuff that I have, you know, besides my Lando Calrissian from the Jabba's cell barge, because I had a catastrophe the other day whenever putting up my new Luke Skywalker and kind of hit some stuff, ruined the backdrop. Yeah, ruined the backdrop for my Sword Trooper. He was cool. Like, he came with this really neat backdrop and stuff, and I was taking the backdrop and I was moving it, and I wasn't thinking properly. It's on the top shelf, and I should have turned off the fan, and I got the backdrop caught in the fan, and it threw it out of my hand, and it hit Lando, and his helmet went tumbling somewhere. It's somewhere in this room.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, so I've got to find that. Man. But what you were saying, like before,
better find it for Sally.
No, that won't happen because this door stays shut. she does not get to go in here without adult supervision. Let's put it that way, if any at all. Like, that's just how it is. It's the one room in the house that I don't have to worry about having fleas right now. God bless, dude. But anyways, I was just going to touch base on what you were saying about with Disney buying the movies or buying the franchise, Lucasfilm, and then, you know, making new movies or whatever. With me collecting before Disney took over, like it was still, it wasn't as hard. You still had waves of figures coming out like every, basically just about like every quarter, just about. But it was a lot easier for me with the vintage stuff, like the 3 3/4 inch figures. Like I could go to a convention or a toy show or to one of these specialty, Star Wars stores or whatever, or even online somewhere and find these figures for $10 to $15. Now it's like, you know, like, Leia with her blasters going to run you about close to $100, man. And like, yeah, it's stupid, man. And these are loose figures. These aren't carded figures, man. But like beforehand, like you could get the figure with the blaster for about $20. Now, you know, for you to get the figure, you know, and this is what's pissing me off about collecting is that some of these people take the figures and then they'll sell the figures to you for $15, but then they want you to buy the blaster from them for $60. So,
oh god,
yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just upsetting. You know, it's just upsetting. Don't get me wrong. I love the fact that we have new movies coming out. I do. It's a great time to be a Star Wars fan because, you know, not only do you have new movies coming out, but you're getting new stuff all the time. So it's like, wow, this is freaking awesome. But at the same time, yeah. You know, for you to go back and find, you know, because the only thing I can think of is that, you know, that the new movies are coming out. So it's driving people more for that nostalgia bit or whatever. They're like, oh my God, I had this whenever I was a kid, you know, and they're probably a lot like me to where it's like, these new characters are really cool. They intrigue me. But the ones that have my heart is, you know, Han, Luke, Leia, Darth Vader, Boba Fett, C-3PO, R2-D2, those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. Oh yeah, it's definitely good times.
I never watched the Clone Wars series.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, I mean, it's bits and pieces. It's one of those things I want to watch. Did Yoda ever face off against Darth Vader?
No. I've seen the Clone Wars series. But as far as I know, he did not face off against Darth Vader in that. No. Yeah, it's
how do you think that would have gone?
Dude, like if he would have, it would have been curtains for Vader.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. We saw him fight Dooku and, you know, and Attack of the Clones, and he was pretty much just doing whatever he wanted to with Dooku. And, you know, Dooku, granted, Anakin got the best of him there in Revenge of the Sith. But, you know, the Clone Wars series is actually before Revenge of the Sith. So, you know, it's one of those that that's definitely a good question. But as far as I know, so he hadn't turned into Vader by that time. So, no, he never did fight Anakin and Clone Wars. Right. But the Clone Wars has some really, really, really good storylines to it, man. Some of them, like it's one of those to where it's like as a season progresses, as the show progresses, you know, season one, there's some really good episodes in season one, but as you get to like season five and like the, I think they have like season six on or partial season six on, Netflix, like what they actually finished off with season six. There's some really deep storylines. It really gets into like the story of like the Force and stuff. It's really pretty neat, man. It's really pretty cool.
Okay, there. And I don't remember where I heard this. There's like two. I think Steven and you even talked about it a long while back. They go somewhere. Supposed to be like really weird Force related. Like they make these figures that are really.
Oh yeah, and I can't think of the name of that episode right now. Yeah, about. I know exactly what you're talking about. To where they
starts with an M or something like.
Oh, the Mortis.
That's one I definitely.
The Mortis trilogy.
Yes,
yeah.
That's
the Mortis trilogy. Yeah. Yeah. As soon as you said it starts with an M,
I want to check that out for sure.
Yeah, definitely do, man. And I'm pretty sure that's still on Netflix. But it'll, like, everybody says that all the Star Wars stuff will be moving over to the Disney streaming site whenever they start at the Disney streaming site. So,
Yeah, yeah. Disney's getting its streaming side. DC's going to have a streaming side. Yeah, a lot of changes coming up here pretty soon. Pretty soon it'll be to subscribe to everything you want to watch. It'll be more than it would to just have a normal cable.
I know.
Satellite like you have.
Yeah, and in fact, I actually cut off a bunch of things this past week. I was going to cut off HBO Now since Game of Thrones isn't going to be out anytime soon. Silicon Valley. I couldn't think of the blasted name. Silicon Valley is just finished up its season run this year. So I think I'm going to, I think I'm going to cut off, HBO Now, but I had Cinemax Stars. I think I had Cinemax Stars and Showtime. And then I had the Comic-Con, Central or Comic-Con streaming side or whatever. And, and don't get me wrong, I enjoyed it, but you know, if I really want to see a certain movie that bad, then I'll just rent it from Netflix, not Netflix, but Amazon Prime and just save my money. You know, some of the, and like, they're not that expensive. You know, I think one of them was, I think that Comic-Con was like $6 a month or $8 a month. The most expensive is HBO Now and it's like $15 a month or whatever. But like I said, I just finished up, you know, this season of Silicon Valley. I miss Ehrlich. I hope he comes back.
Yeah.
I hope he comes back. I love that show. It was still good without him, like, but I just miss the comedy that his character brings, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. I know when I heard him interviewed after he left, and it was like, I'm just done. I'm moving on to do other things, but I haven't heard what he's doing. I know he had like a cartoon that he was doing. I know he does stand up, but
yeah,
I'd like to see it when and they do wrap the show up. I'd love to see him make his triumphant return because he's kind of that affable goof that always fails.
Oh yeah,
but it'd be nice to see him actually get a win.
Oh, once. Wouldn't it though? Like I would, because I mean, well, you watch Silicon Valley, right? Okay. Oh, have you watched this season of it yet?
Yep.
You've seen this, you've seen the final episode of this season. So you know how it ends and all like that good stuff, right? Cause I don't want to give any spoilers. I was going to talk about that. Okay.
Yes. No, yeah. Yes. I've seen it.
Yeah. It was kind of odd to actually watch that show for the first time and not end the season on like a downer almost, you know, like, you know, like, cause it seems like in the past they've had nothing but, you know, like, just in the face of like, oh crap, what are we going to do now? I couldn't think of the words for that. You know, just, you know, everything's crashing down around them. And, you know, it ends this season with, you know, here's our new building. You know, look at how huge this is. So it's like, it kind of makes me wonder how much longer they're going to do the show for. Because.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess they could have ended it right there though. I haven't heard any of the plans for it.
It's possible, but I feel like they would have, because I was reading, you know, I always read the show, the episode synopsis or whatever before watching the episode or whatever, and it just said season finale. It didn't say anything about series finale, so I don't think that they ended it on that, but I kind of have a feeling that they're about to wrap up, unless, you know, they throw something else at them and just totally bring them crashing down or whatever.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Oh yeah.
I finished the third book in the Expanse novel series.
It's
Abaddon's Gate. And man, you know how, and this is a really long series. I don't even know how many books. I think it's like 8 or 9 books right now. And there's still 1 or 2 more coming out.
Yeah.
It is so, I keep saying this, so good. So good because, yeah, you got this, you're following this, the core group of characters from book to book, but they're not always the heroes. It's like they're really good at introducing new people, new characters. And it's a little weird at first but then they lay it out and it's usually follows like 2 or 3 different storylines of all these different people. And you just, the suspense of what's going to happen. Is this person really good? Is this person really bad? And yeah, they always leave it on a big question mark. Like what's going to happen next? It's really, really cool series. I'm looking forward to that. And that's the problem I've got right now is I'm going from between two good series. So this has been my process. I finish a book from, I started with Dresden and then I went to The Expanse, and then I go back to Dresden, and I go back to The Expanse, and it's not fair in a way because the Dresden books are so much shorter.
Oh, yeah.
but so I finished that, and then I gave myself a day, that rest of the day off, listening to some other music and stuff, and then I started up the Dresden Death Masks.
Oh,
and it's
yeah.
so good, too, though. Jim Butcher is, he's really mean because he just beats up his main character.
He does.
I think Harry's just kind of a stand-in for him, and he just loves torturing himself.
it definitely seems like it, man, because, like, as you really progress through that series, you're like, man, does he just hate this character or something? Because, like, sorry if this is a spoiler alert for you, but, like, he can't ever seem to find his happiness. Like, he's always just... You know, he's, you know, given a girlfriend, and then his girlfriend gets infected by a Red Court vampire. So now she can't be with him because she's afraid she's going to kill him or whatever. You know, and it's just, it just progresses, man.
She's some kind of super vampire ninja now.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, what it is she's infected with the vampire disease or whatever. So she can use the powers of being a vampire, but she doesn't have to feed like a vampire. So there's pluses and there's positives and there's negatives of it, because the negative is that the more that she uses the power, then the more that she wants to feed on somebody and you know, basically go over to the dark side, basically.
So the scene, one of the scenes I just finished was, well, I don't want to spoil it for too many people. Anyhow, she helps Harry escape from a really bad situation, and she is getting closer and closer to, she calls it losing control, that she could very well just turn on anybody really soon. Just, I guess it's like a bloodlust.
Oh yeah. No, and that's exactly what it is. It's a bloodlust. It's a wanting to kill because they've used so much power in the for lack of a better term, the demon, the entity that's residing in them, that's wanting to churn them to a vampire, fully to a vampire, is wanting to replenish its power, basically. So,
it's a good, tell me if I'm wrong or not. A lot of things keep coming up in this book. And you don't have to spoil it for me, but it seems like this book is really, Butcher's really getting down to, like the first book, oh yeah, hey, I'm a wizard, this is an adventure. But now he's really looking into what Harry, why Harry is the way he is, who he is, what he's been asked several times that I've noticed, at least three times by different people, why do you do the things that you do? And, you know, Harry's a smart ass and he always has a quick reply that just kind of blows him off. But he's actually starting to question, like, why do I do the things I do?
Yeah.
And it's really interesting. I think it's like he's starting to, this must be the book where he's starting to explore where he's going to push him and what kind of a character arc he's going to actually, the decisions he makes pretty soon, I think, are going to have a lot of importance later on.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Well, and like, he does actually come out and say, he does why he does it, because, and I know the book beforehand, you know, I think it's the mothers, whenever he meets Mother Winter and Mother Summer, you know, they ask him the question, they pose to him the question of basically why does he do what he does? And I think his answer to them is basically like, you know, he does it because nobody else will, that he can't stand by, he can't stand by and see, monsters and things like that from the supernatural side take advantage of mortals the way that they do. And that's really, that's really, in all honesty, and no, sorry if it spoils it for you, but that's really the whole purpose of it. That's really what it is. But like, once you get through the series, and if you ever decide to go back through the series again, once you get through the series and you go back through it again, you'll see that there's a lot of foreshadowing throughout the books. And that's what's really cool about it. I've caught a bunch of stuff because, like I said, I've gone through that series a lot. Like, I ran out of, and this is what I do. I haven't got any of the Expanse novels because I'm going to start it. I'm pretty much waiting till, July to start getting the books for that. Speaking of which, this is 4th of July week, this next week. So actually it's July 1st right now. Yeah. Whoa. Oh my goodness.
Hey, happy July.
Yeah, happy July. Happy July 4th to anybody out there in listener land. I hope you guys have some fun over the 4th of July. Don't lose any fingers. The Dresden Files, like once you're starting to get to a part in the Dresden Files where you're going to start seeing that everything's kind of connected and he might have already start piecing things together or whatever, which makes me wonder if there is an actual endpoint for the Dresden Files or if it's actually, or if it's just going to be a series that continuously runs.
It's a good question.
I'd forgotten
that that question had been asked by the Queens, the Winter Queens, in the last book. And the first time it was asked in this book was by the Loa, I believe, that tells him where to find the artifact, I'll call it, that he's looking for.
He's
asked, I think favorite characters, I've got some new characters. Of course, we knew Michael, the Knight of the Cross.
Yeah.
Then you get to see the two other knights, Hero, Sonya. Was Michael's mentor, and Sonya, the new guy from Russia, who's an atheist, and he's a Knight of the Cross, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, really, really neat characters, fun characters.
Well, he's
getting into some deep questions about the character through them too.
Oh yeah. He's not, as he says, he's not an atheist per se. He's more of a, agnostic, to where he hopes that there's something out there, which makes sense because the swords are faith, hope, and love. Amarakius, Fidelakius, and Esperakius. Amarakius is love, which is Michael's. Fidelakius is faith, which is Hero's, and Esperakius is hope, which is Sonya's. And it really fits the characters perfectly. And you'll hear more about Hero here in a little bit. Have you gotten to the duel yet between Paolo Ortega and Harry? No.
Well, they've met to discuss terms of the duel, and Harry kind of was talking to him. Hero had encouraged him to try to maybe get it called off, but Harry got really, really angry over the fact that these Red Court vampires have villages like in South and Central America where they just basically feed off of everybody in the villages.
They're basically farms.
And,
yeah.
He's like, no, yeah, I'm just going to, no, I'm going to fight you.
Yeah.
So I haven't got to actual duel yet. It's coming up. Last week you brought up the fact that there was going to be introduction of a villain called Nicodemus.
Yeah.
And I was listening to this one. I'm like, man, when is this? I was like listening, and so much stuff happens in such a short amount of time in these books. I'm like, well, maybe Dave is off. Maybe it's the next book. And then all of a sudden, bam.
Yeah.
Here's Nicodemus. And yeah, he is a shady, shady, powerful character. And actually, that's the part I'm at right there where he made an offer to Harry and Harry refused.
Yeah. Okay. Have you figured out the Denarians yet? Have you figured out what they are? Like who they are, basically?
I've got a guess. I know they're from like the Roman times. I know it's going to be like the 30 pieces of silver.
Okay. Yeah.
See, related.
Yeah. That's the biggest part. That's what I thought was cool. Like it's using. That was the part that I thought was the neatest. Like the what I loved the most about that is that he's actually taking the facts from Christianity, the nails from the cross, and he put those into these swords. That's the ultimate weapons of humanity to save humanity from the darkness. And the ultimate weapon against those swords is the coins that were used to pay Judas Iscariot for the information to turn in, you know, Jesus Christ or whatever. So I always thought that was a really cool addition to the story. Like I just thought that was neat. That's really clever, really creative, man.
Well, it's creative because, yeah, he's drawing on that, but he also draws on all kinds of different, I mean, the demons and other kinds of mythologies and stuff. In fact, the meeting when Harry first meets Hero, for second time he meets Hero at Michael's house, I actually wrote this down. I mean, he's not over your face that, oh, you got to believe this stuff is real. It's just that this is what these people believe is real, and it gives them power, like the swords and all this. And Hero's telling Harry, he says, man sees faces, sees skin, flags, membership lists, and files. God sees hearts.
Exactly.
I thought that was a pretty deep
thing. I loved that. Yeah.
Him to put in there.
I loved that. I loved that line, to tell you the truth. There's a lot of really good. He's such a great writer, man. I hate to like just kiss Jim Butcher's butt all the time, but like he's such a great writer and has some really good lines. Queen Mab, the queen of the Winter Court, gets a lot of really good lines, and you'll come across some of them in a book, A Small Favor, I think is the name of it, and it's right before Changes, and it's wow, is all I got to say. I'm ready for you to get to that one now that you've got to this one, because Death Masks, I love Death Masks. Death Masks is a great book. Like I said, I think that's the one where you get introduced to Nicodemus and the Denarians, and just them as a whole is like a really good just a really good adversary, man. Just because, like I said, just the whole mythology based behind everything that they use in that is just great, man. It's exciting. It's compelling. I don't know. It's freaking cool, man. To say the least.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Most definitely.
So I'm going to finish it, and then I'm going to start the next Expanse novel. Then I'm going to go back to Dresden and back and forth until I'm done with both of them. Then who knows what'll be?
Yeah,
I caught my, after that. I guess still got the Red Rising series.
Oh yeah,
coming.
Oh, that's right. September. Out. That's 2 months now.
September.
2 months.
Oh gosh, it is 2 months. Yeah.
Yeah, I will be starting. It's kind of funny because I caught myself in a dilemma on, I think it was Thursday. I've been working a lot of overtime, so my brain's not really up to what day is what and all like this good stuff. But I ran. Yeah. I got through Small Favor, I think on Wednesday, and I forgot to download the next book, and I don't like using my phone unless, you know, to download anything unless I'm hooked up to Wi-Fi or whatever, because I'm cheap and I don't like paying the overage charges on my data. But I went and started. I always keep like I think I said before, there's certain books that I'll always keep just downloaded on my phone, and one of those is Red Rising. So I was like, you know what, it's Thursday, I don't have anything to listen to, I will start Red Rising again. And then so I started Red Rising, and on Friday whenever I went to work, I was stuck with the dilemma. I was like, well, do I go ahead and finish Red Rising, or do I go ahead and start up Small Favor, or not Small Favor, but Changes? And I was like, I'll go ahead and finish up this my run through the Dresden here, and then I'll start up Red Rising. By the time I get through, you know, the fourth book of Red Rising, hopefully it'll be right at perfect time for the fifth book to release, and I can just smoothly transition into that and go with it. So, because that's kind of one of the reasons why I've gone through the Dresden files so many times, is because what I'll do is, like, whenever a new book comes out, I'll start like a month or with the Dresden files, obviously like a couple of months before the new book comes out, and work my way all the way through the series. And I won't start the new book until after I've gone completely, totally through the series. So that way it's like back to, you know, right there at perfect spot. So this way I've got everything refreshed. I've got all this information in my head. And then now here we go into the new book. And, That's
you've read it so much. Do you ever like dream about being in the stories or anything like that?
No, thank goodness I don't, because it'd probably wind up being nightmares or whatever. But no, I haven't.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I haven't yet. Let's put it that way. But, it is pretty neat. I do wish that they made more Dresden Files merchandise. Like, I found a few t-shirts here and there, but I've never pulled the trigger on them. But that charm bracelet you sent the other day, that was Harry's shield bracelet, was pretty cool. I was like, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, well, I was just curious. You know, I was like, I know a lot of people that are fans of stuff do stuff like that. And I really expected just to find something that a fan had made themselves, like at home, do it yourself kind of thing. I didn't anticipate seeing, I bet the bracelet looked really cool. I bet there's also a pendant, a pinnacle pendant.
Oh, yeah.
I bet they have those. That's actually a really well-made bracelet that I found. I was just curious to see if anybody had that and what it would look like. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I actually thought about making one myself at one point in time because, you know, if you could just get like a little stamp made somewhere, you could stamp out some pretty thin metal and puncture holes in it and string it to like some sort of chain or whatever. Like, it can't be too hard. Like, it's, you know, what I used to do for a living is metal work. So it can't be that bad. Or just get you a pair of tin snips and cut it out of some, you know, thin, like a, you know, just thin metal from somewhere that you get like hardware store or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was definitely pretty cool. And you know, I've never been one to, you know, costume or anything like that at conventions because, you know, it just looks like it looks fun, but it looks like it's a lot to have to keep up with. But mm-hmm. I've been thinking about doing like a Grey Warden of the White Council just because like it'd be pretty simple. All you need is like,
oh yeah,
some regular clothes, a gray cloak, and that's about it. Like, you know, I've got an airsoft gun I can use for my gun or whatever. For those people not to know, the Grey Wardens is the militant hand of the right of the White Council of Wizards or whatever. So
oh yeah, and you've got a sword now. Somebody gave you a sword.
Yeah, dude, I forgot to tell y'all about that. That's freaking awesome, man.
Yeah, you got a sword.
Yeah,
yeah. What have you? I would hang that thing on the wall.
That's the plan.
This is not like a little play toys. This is actually a real. Hold your hand out and hack it off.
Yeah,
your enemy's hand or head sword. I mean, it's a real thing. Yeah, it's about what, 4 foot long,
something like that. It's a Scottish claymore, so it's like a can be used for like a you know long sword or whatever. But it definitely it's got a lot of weight to it, and it definitely basically takes like two hands to swing the blasted thing. So yeah, but
yeah, you could paint your face blue and white and be William Wallace.
I've actually done that for Halloween one time, and I that's how I kind of came through possession of that sword. I did that one year for Halloween, and I wore my kilt and all like this good stuff, and wore my Renaissance shirt and painted half of my face blue. And my buddy that gave me that sword, he's the one that had it about like 5 years ago. We went to a Halloween party, and I went. Not necessarily as William Wallace, but just like a Scottish Highland warrior or something like that. And he let me carry that sword around all night long. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's good stuff. We're approaching an hour. I've got a list. I carry it every time. I've had it since the very first time you, Stephen, and I got together at your house.
Yeah.
And it's a list I've had of things that I thought, well, we're never going to be able to talk for 30 minutes, much less than an hour. We've got to have something to fall back on. Right. And I don't feel like we need to, but I was looking at it. I just kind of want to pull a couple of these out.
Okay. Sounds good.
Because Paul quizzed me last night. He did something called a dope quiz. Because, like, I guess growing up, and he's listening to this other podcast, and the guy found something that he just, it's not like his favorite, but it's just something that he just loves. It's dope. So he asked me, when you were growing up, what did you call things that were dope. I'm like, well, I guess I'd call it cool.
Oh,
he says,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess he's like, I guess back then when you, it was still a pretty new word. It was still a pretty new word when you were young. I'm like, yeah. Back when we just started invented fire and climbed down out of the trees. Yeah. Thanks for making fun of how old I am.
Started wearing clothes instead of fig leaves and stuff like that or whatever.
Hey, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, so I, to go off of that, I'm gonna just throw out a couple of things.
Okay.
The very first thing I wrote was Coke or Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper. That's I mean I do like a Coca-Cola every once in a while. Coke, and it's for people that aren't familiar with like Texas or whatever. Like whenever you come over to somebody's house, a lot of times they'll ask you like, "Hey, do you want a Coke?" And you'll say like, yeah, sure. And then you go like, oh, okay, well, I've got like Dr. Pepper or iced tea or whatever. What do you want? Doesn't mean that they're going to give you a Coke. It just means that all sodas, instead of calling it a soda or whatever, it's basically called a Coke. And then you specify which one you want afterwards. And it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I remember that from being a kid. It never occurred to me that that was weird, but it is really weird saying, do you want a Coke? Okay, do you want a Sprite or a Dr. Yeah, yeah. It's very strange.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. I don't,
or maybe is it just, I kind of wondered if it's just our family that was weird like that or other, have you experienced that other
places? I have experienced it at other places, and I've seen some of those little online quiz things also that say like, do you call it a Coke or whatever? No, it's basically like kind of like our region. I don't think it's all over Texas, but I think it's just kind of like our region up here in like the north central area or whatever. But yeah.
Okay. Next question. Moving on.
All right.
IHOP or Waffle House?
Oh, dude, that's a tough one because I am a fan of the.
There is a correct answer.
There is. I'm a fan of the breakfast foods. Yes. And IHOP is good, but I'm a big fan of that pecan waffle that Waffle House does, man.
Whew.
Yeah.
You had me nervous there that you were going to get that one wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get a gold star on that one, Waffle House.
Yeah.
Something about that place.
Something about the atmosphere of it, too. The white trashiness of Waffle House just makes it even like 10 times better, especially if you go late at night. Late at night, you get kind of hairy in there, but you know, it's just.
Oh, yeah. I've seen knives pulled in a Waffle House.
Oh, yeah. And you gotta go
five people I was with.
you gotta go play the Waffle House tunes on the Waffle House jukebox also.
Well, that's one of the cool things. When after Bourdain died, of course, you know, my wife and I were watching a bunch of shows, and somebody posted a clip from one of the episodes where he was in like South Carolina or something like that. Yeah, South Carolina, and one of the guys he was with took him to a Waffle House late at night, and Anthony Bourdain had never been to one.
Oh my God, are you serious?
He sat there looking at it, and he fell in love with it. I mean, it was right up his alley. We've talked about how he appreciated like the basics. Made right.
Oh, yeah.
Simple foods. Yeah. Yeah. He even went on Colbert like later that week or that year. And it was like, Colbert asked him about it because Colbert's from the Carolinas. And oh, and he was like, he still, his eyes lit up when he started talking about the Waffle House. So yes, you got that one correct.
Just to hear him order also is pretty fun too, because they'll be like, you know, let me get it. Blah, blah, blah. They use that diner lingo in there, you know, and it's just cool to hear it because, you know, there's not really many diners around here except for like Denny's and IHOP and Waffle House, but they don't use the lingo like what they do there at Waffle House. Anyway, sorry to interrupt you there, man.
No interruption. We could talk about Waffle House for about an hour in itself. It's so good.
It is, man. It is.
I haven't eaten, so this made me hungry. Okay, I'm going to do two more. Let's see. If you're going to watch a Western, and you had only two options, do you pick one with John Wayne or do you pick one with Clint Eastwood?
John Wayne. I'm a John Wayne man through and through, man. Like, I like Clint Eastwood, but he did a few too many spaghetti westerns for me, man. So I'm going to go John Wayne all the way. Besides a couple of my favorite westerns. The Cowboys is great. North of Alaska is probably one of my favorites. Comancheros, Rio Bravo. Man, he did some really good, man, that guy. He did some, he didn't do too many movies. Even his non-Westerns were really good, though. Like, The Quiet Man is really, really with, Maureen O'Hare. Yeah, I think that's, because I always get her confused with her daughter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maureen O'Hare.
All right, last question.
Okay.
Last question. Time travel is real.
Okay.
And you have only one chance to do it, though. Do you choose to go into the past or to the future?
I was going to answer that real quick, and then all of a sudden my brain started turning. There's a lot of things I'd love to go see back in the past, but I think I would go into the future because I've never brought it up on the show, but I'm kind of disappointed with mankind just a little bit because we've spent so much time and effort developing these phones, these awesome computers that are the size of cards that fit in your pocket that, you know, you carry around with you everywhere and it has your attention constantly. But we still use the same combustion engine basically that was developed almost over 100 years ago. Well, it was developed over 100 years ago and we haven't thought of a new way of travel yet. You know, and it just frustrates me because we haven't come up with it yet, or we have come up with it yet and big oil has put the stop on it, but I'm not going to get political, you know, one of the two. And so like, I would probably go into the future to see what type of developments and stuff like that, that I'm going to wind up missing because, you know, I'm going to die. But,
and that's how disappointed will you be when you go 1,000 years in the future and are still driving Toyotas around and Chevy trucks? Yeah.
I would just probably just end it all there. Just be like, all right.
You know, with Charlton Heston, Planet of the Apes, when he finds the Statue of Liberty, and he just, no, that'd be Dave. He'd go in the future and all these other cool gadgets and just normal combustion engine vehicles, and he just lose it.
Except for everybody's having to walk around with respirators now because we can't breathe anymore because the smog has gotten too bad or whatever, and just all sorts of horrible stuff. But yeah, that would.
I don't know how I'd answer that one because both scare me.
Yeah,
the future scares me, and my wife and I were talking about the other day. Just imagine, just we couldn't. How hard would it be? Not just going back, say, 200 years, just 100 to 120 years ago. I don't know if most people could make it.
We're
so spoiled.
It'd be so hard to blend in is part of it because even 100 years ago, 120 years ago, they had a different way of speaking. Like, we would go and sound like complete total outsiders. It would be obvious, not only just from like the clothing or whatever, but even still, I guess probably the same thing would be what happened going into the future. Like, we'd probably sound just so archaic and look so archaic whenever, if we went into the future, like we'd stick out like a sore thumb, but I think I would feel more comfortable going into the future, not just because the amenities or whatever, but just because, like, you know, just the being able to possibly blend in maybe just a little bit better than what I would going back into the past.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that, just like thinking about the settlers when they just started moving into Texas and were, like Austin set up his colony. How tough were these people to show up on a piece of land? I mean, you had to, I guess that's why they would settle near rivers, of course, but then digging, we have some wells on our property, hand dug wells.
Oh,
and
wow.
I look at them and I'm like, how did people do this, first of all?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
How tough were you to be able to go down 30 feet in the ground or deeper, digging it by hand?
And how long did it take you to do it?
How people lived.
Oh, yeah. And with how hot it is here, I was outside spraying my yard for fleas because I'm infested right now. And I was outside spraying my yard for fleas. And like, dude, like it's like 100 plus degrees outside. You know, my goodness, dude, like it's unbearable. You know, I get out there and I'm sweating and it's dripping on my blasted glasses and I can't see. And it's just like, oh, so maybe in the future we'll have personal air conditioners. That's where all our resources and stuff like that's going to go to. So,
oh yeah. Like a little, you just wear a little, suit.
Yeah.
Like a space suit. Around that has air conditioning in it.
And we'll probably need it anyways because the world will be toast. And so we'll just have to like walk around with these air purification suits that pulls in oxygen because the air is going to be poison and not breathable because of the way that we're treating everything. Okay. I'm going to stop because if not, I'm going to go off.
Nah, so. You got me excited though for talking about the suits and stuff. I will be really surprised if you do not immediately, maybe not immediately, because I've got to tell you, the first book in the Expanse series, it took me a 2 or 3 chapters to get a feel for it.
Yeah.
But if you haven't, by the middle of the book to the, and definitely by the end of the book, you have not fallen in love with it and been grabbed, I'll be deeply surprised. And after the second book, even more so. And this third book, it really blew me away. And just the things that they come up with for like the space travel and the ships. And I mean, they've got this thing for like high G, flight through space. They can go really, really fast. This guy, I think it was one of the people from Mars came up with the technology to make an engine that would go even faster than, like anybody on Earth had been able to do. But part of it is you're going so fast that it would normally just like knock you out or kill you. Hey, Lila. Lila's saying hi, Dave.
Hi, Lila.
And, you're on these couches, and if you're like the pilot and have to stay coherent, needles come out of the couch and insert into you to fill you with drugs, basically. Oh, wow. Speed to, yeah, keep you awake enough to maneuver and pay attention to stuff. And that's just one little tiny thing that they've come up with for these books. Oh, you're going to love it.
That sounds really cool. I guarantee it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I will probably start that. Probably start that real soon. Just, I'm going to make my way. If there's just a few books of the Dresden left, so I'm going to go jump on that immediately. So,
but, I'd send it to you. I might still try to send you the second one. I don't know. I might be able to share that one with you since I've never shared a book with you.
Oh, yeah. I think you should. I think it just works like for like one person to share it to the other one, or, you know, like I've sent you like my limit or something like that. So, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think so. I don't have the first one, or it's in it, because I just read it. But yeah, I'll try to send you the second one about the time you're getting done.
Awesome. Sounds good, man. So, but I think that's going to do it for us, man. I've got to wrap it up. I've got some stuff I got to take care of. I've got to get a move on and stuff. So I hate to cut.
Same here. Delilah invaded the office and she's demanding me play songs for her. So that's time to go.
That's all right. That's her first, she's at the beginning of every episode, but so is only suiting for her to have a guest starring spot just then. So,
yeah, she calls it, about once or twice a week, she makes me play the intro because she calls it the Delilah Show. It's the Delilah Show. Yeah. I don't correct her because I think it's cute.
That is pretty stinking cute. So, but anyways, if you guys want to get in touch with us, go by Twitter. You can go to @2BT Show. That's @2BT Show. If you want to get us on email, if you want to email us, same thing. It's the number 2BT Show@gmail.com. The number 2BT Show@gmail.com. Go by nerdylegion.com/audible. Sign up for Audible. Get you a couple of free books. If you don't like it, you don't have to keep the service, but you get to keep the books. So it's a win-win situation. Just, you know, go by and check it out. What else am I forgetting there, Michael? I can't think of anything else. I don't know.
I think you covered it.
I think so.
Go check out Adam Retro Reprise.
Oh yeah, go by and check out Adam's stuff at Retro. Nah, I forgot about that. But yeah, go by and check out Adam at Retro Reprise. He live streams to Twitch every Friday night at midnight. So technically Saturday morning, but every Friday night at midnight, he live streams to Twitch. He also puts his stuff up on YouTube as well. But go by and check him out. It's Retro Reprise. That's about it. Go by and check out all the other Nerdy Legion shows, man. There's a bunch of great entertainment, good quality shows that's up there. So go by, download them, check them out, say hi, something, whatever. With that being said, I'm David.
I'm Michael.
This is the Delilah Show.
Adios.
Signing out.
It's the Delilah Show. Fayo con Dios.
Fayo con Dios. All right. Mama.
What the heck is that noise?
I don't know.
Adios.
Fayo con Dios.
Bye.
I don't say goodbye. I say may the force be with you.
Awesome. Later, guys.
Oh, jeez.
That wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Boo.
Nerdy Legion.
Nerdylegion.com.
This is a song all about drinking. Hi-ya, love you with me. We came down to the sea and found what we wanted to be. And then we always had to be where we are in our lives. But then you were the one, the only one who lived my life. Who checked me down through the lust, but hi, 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 hi.
and crash feelings in my mind. Your cover's blown again, just close your eyes, you'll be alright. You'll kiss a loneliness, a grip and it's right up on there. The scars and leaves in you, the kingdom is constantly for no plans. But I'm